You have your Bible with you. Turn with me to James chapter 1. I'm going to pick up reading in the middle of verse 4. James chapter 1, in the middle of verse 4. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave, a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. One word stands out to me, and that word is wisdom. What is wisdom? Word book says that wisdom is accumulated knowledge. It says it's the trait of utilizing knowledge or experience with common sense and insight. It also said that wisdom is the quality of being prudent and sensible. Now, Webster's dictionary says that wisdom is an understanding of what is true, right, or lasting. It says good judgment or common sense, learning. Wisdom is used 222 times in the King James Version. That's not including all the times, nearly 300 times, that the word wise is used. I didn't take the time to go through all of those occurrences of the word wise to determine how many times it was referring to wise men. A lot of times in the Old Testament, it's referring to wise men. Most of those times, they weren't very wise. But just the word wisdom, 222 times in the King James. And the apostle here, James, tells us that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing, but if any of you lack wisdom. Does it stand out to you at all in that context, in that thought, that as James is declaring that a person to become whole, spiritually whole, lacking nothing, and then immediately bring up the possibility that his hearers or his readers may lack something, and the thing that they may lack first and foremost, across the board, would be wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, if any of you need wisdom, what is it? One writer says that wisdom is the sum of practical religion. Boy, that seems to be a little distant from where Word Book and Webster is at. Now, this writer is coming from the spiritual context, the religious context. Wisdom is the sum of practical religion. Now, I think that if we read this correctly and we study it through, we'll find that James is with the psalmist when he says that sin and folly are one and the same. The two different words, but they mean the same. And the psalmist also says that religion and wisdom are the same. So look at the word wisdom in the New Testament. Look at the word wisdom in the Old Testament. I would agree with the words of Alexander McLaren as he describes for us what religious wisdom, or this word wisdom that James is using, would mean in our context. This is what he said. He has wisdom who knows God with a living heart knowledge, which gives a just insight into the facts of life and the bounds of right and wrong, and which regulates conduct and shapes the whole man. He has wisdom who knows God with a living heart knowledge. Immediately when I read that, my mind went to a verse of Scripture that's found in Philippians, written by the hand of Paul the Apostle when he penned, "Oh, that I might know Him." That I might know Him. But if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lack the knowledge of God, if any of you lack a living heart knowledge, let him ask of God. Brings to mind the chorus that was penned by a chorister some years back, 30-some years ago, "More of You. I've had it all, but what I need is more of You." Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of You. Job declares in Job 28, verse 28, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." The psalmist said in the 111th Psalm in verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments." Can you see how that wisdom would correlate with our knowledge of God and our understanding of God and our closeness to Him, our living heart knowledge of God? Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We probably are all familiar, and you're expecting me sometime or another to jump over to the book of Proverbs, where the wise man penned these words about wisdom. In verse number 7 of the first chapter, he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I didn't take the time, and I'm not going to spend any time on it this morning, but I've already given to you a verse of Scripture out of the Psalms that says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. The fear of the Lord, now Solomon is saying, is the beginning of knowledge. But then he goes on to tell us that wisdom has to do with somebody listening or obeying. We can jump over a few more chapters and into the 9th chapter of Proverbs in verse number 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." How well do we know God? Let's make it personal this morning. How well do I know God? No, I'm not talking about how much Scripture you can quote, though that's a good thing. I'm not talking about a head knowledge of what you think God is, or who He is, or what He represents, or that you can list all of His attributes. I'm not talking about all that knowledge that's tucked into the head. I'm talking about how well do we know God, a living heart knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, if the fear of the Lord is just the beginning of wisdom, what is to follow? Could it be the thing that needs to follow the fear of the Lord to begin wisdom in our heart is an understanding of all that the fear of the Lord would be, or that all that God would be? Well, I know, preacher, God is love. Somebody else will say, I know God is holy. There we go, listing the attributes, listing the characteristics, listing who He is, but how well do we know? I mean, know Him. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, when He was speaking to people that were heavy-hearted, that had heavy burdens, He said, learn of Me. Learn of Me. Sit under My tutelage. Sit under my tutorship. Sit underneath My instruction. Learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find that soul rest. Understanding of what is true, right, and lasting. Let's jump back a few chapters to Proverbs chapter 3. This is a good verse for us to build a new year on. This is a good verse for us to establish all of our New Year's resolutions. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's a powerful statement. It's one of those statements that is easier said than done. But the writer, the wise man, isn't suggesting it. He is laying it out there as a prerequisite, as an important part. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. But then He throws a curveball. You just don't like curveballs. You want it? Oh yes, I'm trust in the Lord. I'm leaning on His understanding. But then He throws us this verse 7 and He says, be not wise in your own eyes. Wow. Here it is again. Fear the Lord. Could we sum that section up with one simple phrase? A total focus on God. A total focus on God. Why did Solomon say, be not wise in thine own eyes? He's talking about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And understanding comes from a knowledge of the holy. He's explaining to us this aspect of what wisdom is in the spiritual context. And then He turns around here and He says, be not wise in our own eyes. You read through the Proverbs, you'll find that Solomon sought for what he called wisdom. But it was in his pursuit of that knowledge that he forgot God. And in forgetting God, he said it was all folly. No, he didn't say it quite that way. He just said that in getting wisdom, in getting all of that, you see, he had already received wisdom from God. But it was when he left off from, following after God that he began to pursue worldly wisdom or wisdom in your own eyes, that he determined then that that wisdom was folly. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Now the Amplified gives us the text that we've read out of James this way, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed, with no defects, lacking in nothing, if any of you is deficient in wisdom. Remember what I said, Alexander McLaren said, he has wisdom who knows God with a living heart knowledge, which gives a right or a just insight into the facts of life and the bounds of right and wrong, and which regulates conduct and shapes the whole man. In your songbook, on song number 104, is a song that we know. We've sung it a time or two in our lives. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own, more of his kingdom's sure increase, more of his coming, Prince of Peace. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. Then we sing the chorus, I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of his great love. So rich, so full, so free. I want more of Jesus. So I'll give him more of me. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But if anyone lacks wisdom. What this year holds, we don't know. What our days before us would issue to us, we really don't have a clue. But if the Scripture speaks to us at all, at the beginning of a year, as we look forward to these next 12 months, as Jesus would tarry, what is the thing that we so desperately need more than anything else? Could it be that we need to have more of Jesus? Could it be that we need more than anything else a living heart knowledge? Could it be that James is speaking to us in this passage? That in our endeavors of life and having everything and obtaining and receiving and becoming whatever it is that we want to become, that our first and foremost deficiency is that of wisdom. Not a head knowledge, not a dictionary description, but a religious definition of that living heart knowledge of God living within us, that we are walking closer to Him. More of you more of you. I've had all but what I need. Just more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still. Empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Let's stand together this morning.